Welcome to the Paul to Timothy podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney, and I'm so glad to be with you today. We're starting a new series titled Final Words for Future Leaders. And I want to talk specifically today about defining three expectations when you in ministry leadership are facing a season of sacrifice. Everyone in ministry knows that there are seasons of sacrifice when pain, preparation, risk, and potential become starkly clear. A season of sacrifice tends to be rooted in our past. Something from our past has surfaced, and now the issues of the past are causing us to enter into a season of sacrifice. Or our present. Something is happening now, and now these issues in the present are causing us to enter into a season of sacrifice. Or our future. Something about our future is pending, and the issues of the future are causing us to enter into a season of sacrifice. You get the point. We can easily be drawn into a season of pain, preparation, risk, and potential by something that comes to us from the past or arises in the present or is pending in our future. One of the remarkable characteristics about a season of sacrifice is that it will hugely define our lives. Whether we're facing pain, preparation, risk, or potential, we will never be the same again. And I'm telling you, how we handle the season of sacrifice is absolutely critically important. The context of the entire series will be rooted to John chapter 12 through John chapter 17. Those are significant chapters in the Bible because Jesus has gone from a largely public ministry to a largely privately focused ministry towards his leaders. And so the words and the principles that he taught in these chapters are just so essential for us to lay the right foundation and to turn to Jesus' teaching in John 12 through 17. It's really helpful. You know, if we don't handle our pain well, it can cripple us. If we don't handle the season of difficult preparation well, it's going to limit us. If we don't handle the risk that we're facing carefully, we can easily move in the wrong direction. If we don't handle the potential of the moment well, we may never get to the next level that God is calling us. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Problem of Pain, talked about God getting our attention. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. Pain is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. These disciples of Jesus were about to enter into a season of sacrifice. And Jesus was letting them know, you need a foundation as you move into a season of sacrifice. So specifically, let's talk about how God prepares us for a season of sacrifice in our leadership. Now again, we're going to look at three ways that God prepares us for a season of sacrifice, specifically in John chapter 12. It's essential to know the context of the chapter. In John 11, Jesus has brought forth his greatest miracle, the resurrection of Lazarus. Also in John 11, Jesus makes a definitive move away from public life to concentrating on his inner circle. He moves largely from public to largely private. There will be a few more public events, but Jesus' primary focus now will turn to his future leaders of the church. So out of John chapter 12, let's find out what Jesus was doing and showing that prepared them to enter into a season of sacrifice. So let's just talk about three things going on. Number one, in a season of sacrifice, God reveals that you are facing inevitable, painful moments. Listen to Jesus' words to his leaders and disciples, John 12, 23 through 25. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The one who loves his life loses it. And the one who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life." There's a leadership maxim that's really good to keep in mind. When God is making real to you that your future that is just around the corner is going to be painful, the leadership maxim for this time: pain is essential to growth. I take great comfort in Marjorie Williams' nursery book titled The Velveteen Rabbit. In that book, she, in one section of it that is just so meaningful to me, there are two toys talking in the nursery. They're having a conversation. Let me read to you from her book. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came to tidy the room. "Does it mean to have things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle?" "Real isn't how you are made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked, "or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or who have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in your joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand." It's powerful truth, isn't it? In a season of sacrifice, God reveals to us that we are facing inevitable, painful moments, and those painful moments shape us for God's destiny. You know, a key verse that I find really comforting when it's clear that I'm facing a painful season in my life, Matthew 5:5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Most of the listeners are ministry leaders, and most have done a study on that word meek. It's taken from a word that means a domesticated animal. No longer is it a wild stallion that can no longer stay inside the fenced area. No, it is a domesticated stallion that lives within the fence. What's the emphasis of "blessed are the meek"? Blessed are those who stay steady with what the Lord has placed before them, and that is foundational. Psalm 37:1-9, it's a psalm of David. Listen to it and allow it to help you hold steady in the inevitable painful seasons that we face. David said, "Do not get upset because of evildoers. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and decay like the green plants. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring out your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not get upset because of one who is successful in his way, because of the person who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and abandon wrath. Do not get upset. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be eliminated, but those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land." In a season of sacrifice, God reveals that we're about to face some painful moments. Secondarily, in a season of sacrifice, God reveals that obedience is essential. Take a listen to John 12:35-36. "So Jesus said to them, 'For a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light so that darkness will not overtake you. Also, the one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light. There's a leadership maxim that's really helpful to remind yourself of in the middle of a season of sacrifice. Obedience is essential, and the maxim is this: delayed obedience really is disobedience. Parker Palmer, in his book, Hug the Mountain, shared a story that really helps us center in on doing what is right, even when everything in us wants to tell us to run, to hide, to manipulate, to do whatever is necessary to get the pressure off of us. Listen to Parker's story. Years ago, he was invited onto an Outward Bound excursion, and it was there that they walked him to the edge of a cliff that dropped 110 feet. They tied a line to his waist and told him to start rappelling down the cliff. Do what? He was told, just do it. So he pushed off. He dropped 4 feet and he crashed face first into the rock. The instructor looked over. Parker, I don't think you've got the hang of this. No kidding, he said. The instructor replied, the only way to do this is to lean back as far as you can. You have to get your body at right angles to the cliff so that your weight is on your feet. Parker said, I knew he was wrong, of course. I knew that the trick was to hug the mountain. To stay so close to the rock face as I could. So I tried it again my way and slammed with bone-jarring force into the next ledge 4 feet down. The instructor came back over, said, Parker, it's counterintuitive. I know, but lean out, lean free. And Parker writes about that experience. The next step was a very big one, but I took it. In wonder of wonders, it worked. I leaned back into empty space, eyes fixed on the heavens in prayer, made tiny, tiny moves with my feet, and started descending the rock face. He said, we have to stop hugging the rock, and we have to learn how to lean out and look up and trust something beyond ourselves. Listen to me now about obedience in a season of sacrifice. When God is dealing with you and helping you and saying, listen, you're entering into a season of pain, make sure secondarily that obedience stays very much in focus. And I can tell you, you have to trust something beyond yourself, because if you only trust yourself, you're going to run and hide, you're going to manipulate, you may even compromise ethics in order to take the pressure off. So the issue here is, stay in a very focused way on the next step of obedience. Let me share with you the last thing that Jesus is doing and laying a foundation with his leaders for preparing them for a season of sacrifice. The third thing that happens is that God reveals that defections will surface. John 12, 42 and 43. The scripture says, nevertheless, many, even the rulers, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, so that they would not be excommunicated from the synagogue, for they loved the approval of people rather than the approval of God. So here's a leadership maxim for us. Don't be surprised when what God has ordained for you comes under attack. Jim Cimbala, in his book, The Church God Blesses, shares a very vulnerable story, how he was personally attacked and all of the things that go with that. He's accused of a lot of things. He is told that he's not qualified. His authority is questioned. All of the characteristic things that the devil does through individuals to undermine God's purposes when we are walking them out in our lives. Jim Cimbala said this, we must never be surprised or alarmed when the baby comes under attack, or that Satan tries to snuff out the fresh new thing that God is preparing to do. Keep that in mind. So let's move to application. When you're entering into a season of sacrifice, you'll never survive and become what God has ordained without first addressing your expectations. Your season of sacrifice is going to be painful. Your season of sacrifice requires detailed obedience. Your season of sacrifice will likely surface a number of detractors to your leadership. I want to close out today with a classic, for me anyway, classic story that I've used in counseling, which I think really applies here. Dr. James Dobson shares in the book Stories of the Heart and Home how a close friend of his named Martha had a father who had never revealed any depth of love for her, though she was now grown and had two children of her own. She continued to hope that her father would suddenly become what he had never been, and that expectation caused Martha repeated disappointment. When her infant son failed to survive his first week of life, her father didn't even come to the funeral. That caused deep wounds through the years. After receiving a letter from Martha in which she told him of her hurts, he refused to even come to her son's wedding. Dr. Dobson sent her a letter to help her define expectations. He told her this, "Martha, I am more convinced every day that a great portion of our adult life, our adult effort, is invested in the quest for that which was unreachable in childhood. The more painful the early void, the more we are motivated to fill it later in life. Your dad never met the needs that a father should satisfy in his little girl, and I think you are still hoping he will miraculously become what he has never been. Therefore, he constantly disappoints you, hurts you, rejects you. I think you will be less vulnerable to pain when you accept the fact that he cannot, nor ever will, provide the love and empathy and interest that he should. It is not easy to insulate yourself in this way. I'm still working, Dr. Dobson said, to plug a few vacuums from my own tender years, but it hurts less to expect nothing than to hope in vain." I think that is foundational to what Jesus was doing with them. He is helping them define expectations. Keep in mind, they are just coming off of the greatest miracle they have ever seen and that Jesus has ever performed, the resurrection of Lazarus, 3 days in the grave. And so Jesus now turns and he is preparing them as he moves far more from public life into private life, where he was focusing on them and preparing them. And he wanted them to know they were entering into a season of sacrifice that would have great rewards. They will end up bearing much fruit, but they have to lay a foundation for the season of sacrifice, knowing that it's going to be painful. They're going to have to be very obedient. And they are going to experience around them detractors that walk away from foundational godly principles and focus. It happened to them, it will happen to us, and it is a preparation time for the future of what God is doing in and through your life. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, encouraging you. Head over to paultotimothy.com. Take advantage of free resources that we have for you there. It's at paultotimothy.com. God bless you. Look forward to the next time with you in this new series, Final Words for Future Leaders.